I thought this morning, especially in light of all the things that are going on this week, that it would be good to have talk a little bit about some uplifting and just beautiful aspects of God. You know, we've talked about this topic in the past, I'm sure, but I think this would be good. So this morning I wanted to take a look at how awesome is Jesus. John 1, 1 through 3, we find this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Genesis 1:3, we find, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God spoke into being everything that is. He created everything that is by His Word. That Word is Jesus. Jesus is God. As we read in Philippians 2, 5, and 6, Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. It wasn't robbery because that's who He is. We find this spelled out in other terms in John 8, and verse 58, where it says, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." And in John 10:30, He said, "I and my Father are one." Hebrews 1:1-3 has this to say: God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past to the fathers and the prophets, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, when I was a kid, I used to take that literally. And I pictured God sitting on His throne with His hand kind of laying beside Him like this, and Jesus was sitting on His hand. That's what kids do. All throughout history, Father spoke. He gave insight to the prophets, showing bits and pieces of His plan to reconcile us to Himself. In the Old Testament, we can read about the things He had to say. Even with the New Testament, to help us understand what He was talking about in the Old, we may still find it challenging to see and grasp many things we read. I do a lot better when I have my preaching glasses on. Father has not left us without help, however. To make His message clear, He has spoken to us in a new, different, and much more complete way. To be sure that we would not miss His message, He spoke in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Son of God, not just a prophet or a teacher, though He certainly does both of those things. Instead, He is the exact representation of the nature of the Father. He is a visual manifestation of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is the message from God, and Jesus Christ is the messenger from God. So powerful is Jesus, the Word of God, that not only was the world made through him, but he upholds everything in the universe. You know, we watch these movies, these Marvel movies with these big, powerful creatures and people, and the one gets this glove full of all kinds of, you know, beautiful stones, and now he is the most powerful being in the universe. People have this sense in them, don't they, that there must be someone like that. It is he we worship, the true God. This is the Jesus who came to earth. This God, this one who upholds everything in the universe is the Jesus who came to earth, who laid down his life and who rose from the dead. Jesus, this message from God, did these things so that sin would be taken out of the way. Because of sin, we could not have a relationship with God. We were incompatible with him and unacceptable by him. Jesus agreed to give his life to pay the price of sin that separated us from God. After he had paid that price and taken away the sin of the world, he rose from the dead and sat down right next to God in heaven. When he did that, the message was clear. It is finished. As we read in 2 Peter 1:3, everything needed for life and godliness has been made available. Because of Jesus, John 1:12 tells us that it has become possible for us to become reborn children of God. Jesus is the exact representation of the nature of God. When we believe God and trust what he said through Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter 1:4, we too carry the nature of God. We share in his divine nature. We participate in it. Jesus comes to live in us by his Spirit, and we are placed into him so thoroughly that our lives are hidden in God. Paul said in Acts, "In him we live and move and exist." This is the Jesus in whom our faith has been placed. This is the Jesus who lives and loves in us. And the news keeps getting better. Philippians 2:6 through 11 says this, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus existed in the form of God. This does not mean merely that he was like God. Jesus, the man from Nazareth, was in fact God himself in human flesh. John makes this abundantly clear right at the outset of his beautiful record of the life of Jesus. Listen again to what he says here in John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is God in human flesh. He is fully God and fully human. Theologians have a word for this. I bet you're not surprised. They call it the theandric union. I like it because it's fun to say, theandric. The theandric union. That's a fancy way of saying that in Jesus, the Anointed One, humanity and the divine are amalgamated together as one. As it turns out, this is a pretty big deal. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 15:21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. Do you see that? Humankind in Adam set out to do things his own way rather than trusting what God said. That was sin, and sin has consequences. Ultimately, sin yields death. Death is the price, or the wages, if you will, of sin. Humankind owed those wages, but could never pay them. Even so, it was necessary that a human person pay them, and that required a very special human person. It required Jesus, the only theandric person, the amalgamation of humanity and deity. Only because he was perfect was his death sufficient payment for all the sins of the world across all of time. Jesus could have come to earth in glory and power. It would have been easy and perhaps maybe from our perspective the natural thing to do, just show up and blow them all away with how great he is. He could have erased the earth and every single one of us. As the creator of all that is, he would have been well within his rights to do so. But instead, he humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant. He pointed this out himself in Matthew 20:28, where he said, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." He didn't come to be served, he came to serve. It's an odd way to lead from our perspective. But the kingdom is often upside down from what the world expects. Jesus took this idea of serving to the ultimate extreme. He became one of us, a created being, born of a woman, born under the law of Moses, as we read in Galatians 4:4. He made himself obedient. Obedience often gets misunderstood. Jesus was certainly obedient in the sense which we most commonly think of obedience. He obeyed the rules. He was without sin, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. He was morally flawless. But there is another, often missed, kind of obedience. The Bible calls it the obedience of faith. Jesus put it this way in John 8:28 and 29. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. What Jesus said and what Jesus did while He walked the earth, He said and did by faith in God. His obedience went to the ultimate degree. He laid down his life. He submitted himself to death, and not just any death, death by crucifixion. Not only was crucifixion the most horrific death form at that time, but it involved wood, a tree. The law of Moses said that anyone hung on a tree was cursed. We find this mentioned in Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Notice here that we find out why he did this incredible thing. It was for us. It was so that we would be able to receive the blessing promised to Abraham. It was so that we would receive the Spirit of God through faith in Jesus Christ. No wonder then that God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. No wonder then that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow. No wonder then that every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We've seen that Jesus is God. He was with God the Father from the beginning when the Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. When God spoke into existence all that is, he did it through Jesus, the Word of God. There is not a single solitary thing seen or unseen that was made without Jesus, according to Colossians 1:16. But it gets better still. In Jesus is life. Jesus is the source of life. Life comes from him. As we see in John 5:26, for as the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. John 1:9-10 says it this, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Jesus is the light of humanity. Coming into the world, he provided illumination to enlighten everyone to the truth about the way to life eternal. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In Ephesians 5:13 and 14, Paul puts it like this, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Light shows everything that has been hidden in darkness. I'm sure you've experienced this for yourself. When you wake up in the evening, in the night, when you've been sleeping, and you need to find your way to that other room in the house, and somebody left something in the way, it can be painful to not see all the things that lay around in the darkness. Light turns the shadow of death into a clear view of still waters and green pastures. John 1:12-14 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He lived with us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus gave people the right or the power to become children of God. Without Jesus, no one is able to be born of God. With Jesus, being born of God becomes possible because Jesus makes people compatible with God. How does he do that? By giving them his righteousness. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Then in 2 Corinthians 5:21, just a few verses later, he says this, "For he has made him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin." Jesus knew no sin. He wasn't sinful. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Do you see that? These verses aren't kidding. They're not talking about some theoretical idea. They're talking about something that happened. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Did you know that? New creatures have no past. When you became new in Christ, the change was profound, just like we heard about Jim's dad this morning. That doesn't mean everybody immediately, you know, stops being an alcoholic or gets rid of cigarettes or stops cussing or cleans up their act. Sometimes that takes a long time, but their inner being, their inner man, has been completely rebuilt and reconstructed, and the old stuff is gone. He was made to be sin for us so we could be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you remember the Sermon on the Mount? All that great thing about cutting off hands and plucking out eyes and all the impossible stuff. And then there's a one point at which Jesus says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Nobody can keep that rule. But God. And that's what he did here. He gave us his righteousness. He made us at the core of our being, at our spirit, he made us righteous. If it were not so, he could not live in us and we could not exist in him. This wonderful gift is available to every person who will accept it by agreeing with God about their sin and their inability to make themselves compatible with God, and will trust that Jesus has done it for them. It doesn't come about by an exercise of the flesh. Nothing a person can do can make it happen. It comes by trusting God when he says that Jesus has done it on our behalf. This is why in 2 Corinthians 5 there's this talk of reconciliation. Jesus was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's sins against them. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation that says, "We plead with you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." That's the good news. The good news is God was in Christ reconciling you to himself. Be reconciled. Agree to be reconciled. And it's as simple as that. Jesus became a human being and lived with us personally and in the flesh. He did this so that we could all see that there is more to life than striving to meet performance targets. He did it so that we could see that pleasing God is not about observing rules, rites, and rituals. Rather, there's a gift waiting for anyone who will receive it. There is an inheritance waiting for everyone who will accept it. John 1:16 through 18 says this, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. For no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." In other words, when you look at Jesus, you see God the Father. The gift he has provided comes from his infinite fullness. He has no limits of any kind, and out of love, He graciously offers us fullness. He is the supply. He is the source. He offers abundant life. He offers love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Grace and truth came through Jesus, and He manifested, displayed, declared, made real to us God the Father. Jesus made God the Father tangible by living among us and showing us by the way He lived, the things He did, and the things He said, exactly what God is like and who God is as a person. John 1:29 says, "The next day John," he's talking here about John the Baptist, "sees Jesus coming unto him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world.'" Jesus takes away the sin of the world. He takes away my sin. He takes away your sin. In Jesus, God was reconciling the world to Himself and not counting people's sins against them. That's an awful big statement for us. Because all we look around and all we see is all the sins that people are doing. Because we've been predisposed to judge by outward appearance, but God doesn't judge that way. There's some pretty terrible looking children of God walking around with Christ in them. And there's some really beautiful looking people who do not have the Spirit. But God is not counting people's sins against them, it says here. All He's saying is, "I've reconciled the world to Myself. Be reconciled. Agree with Me that Jesus has done everything necessary to make you acceptable, to make you compatible, to give you eternal life. When you are righteous, you have eternal life. If you are not righteous, you cannot have eternal life. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Only one way to do that, Jesus' righteousness. There is no better news. Jesus is awesome. And that's the biggest understatement in the history of the world. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You that You truly are awesome, and that that truly is the biggest understatement in the history of the world. We thank You, Father, for living in us, for placing us safely in You. We pray that this week we would remember all of these things, that we would grow up to know who we are in You and all that You have truly done for us, so that it might overflow from us to others around us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.